Hello, my name is Kelly Minter.
And I'm Regina Pinto.
And together, we wrote a cookbook called A Place at the Table. It's all about cooking and community.
And after many years of cooking and serving, we wanted to write a book together.
We're so excited to bring all that we've learned to you about cooking and community in this podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Place at the Table. Regina, I am so excited about today's episode because we are going to be talking about our love for gardening and for seasonal fruits and vegetables and why this is so significant. And now listen, if you are out there and you're like, I am never going to garden, I'm not interested in gardening, there is still a lot in this episode for you because so much of this really is about eating seasonally and just how the flavors are so rich. Also linking some of the agricultural references that Jesus made. He made so many agricultural references to explain spiritual truths. Mm-hmm. And I think we get that more when we know a little bit about gardening. And so I'm super excited because we're going to talk about how to invite our kids and our loved ones into this whole process. And I think it's spiritually enriching. It's therapeutic. There's so much here today for us to talk about. But first of all, Regina, I want you to share a little bit about your growing up and just the fact that your family actually, in many ways, existed and survived off of gardening and farming. And so yes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we are in Brazil, when I was growing up, my grandfather and my grandmother was living with us. So it was a great thing. It's a blessing to be with your grandparents when you were growing up.
All in the same house.
And my grandfather loves to plant. Mm. And we have a beautiful little vegetable gardens that we ate from it during the whole year. It was like a seed, and the seeds, and I always think about when we were talking about Genesis, when God gave us all the trees, all the fruits, but he always say all the seeds.
Yes.
And that's what it is. It's just, I love to see things grow.
Mm.
And I'm crazy about trees and plants. My grandfather used to sit with me in the dirt and doing these little rows of vegetables and putting one seed in each little hole and cover it with a little bit of dirt and watering and seeing it grow.
Yes.
From carrots to radishes, cucumbers, everything we used to grow, and that's where we used to live from.
Yes.
And my father built this chicken coop. And we had chickens, and we had, it was it. And I had to learn early in age how to kill a chicken and pluck it and prepare. So I was prepared when I got married. I knew everything about
it. You know how to kill a chicken.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But the gardening was always fascinating for me.
Yeah.
And until this day, I love to plant.
Well, and I think just even hearing you speak and things that I've recognized from my own life is that gardening, first of all, it makes me so aware of how dependent we are on our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
We can get to this point where we just think we're kind of just in control. And the reality is that this is all God, the Creator, who put this again in motion in Genesis 1, and he gave it to us to govern and to be a part of. And so we realize this is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
This really is a miracle when a tiny little seed goes into the ground, it gets covered up, and then this amazing transformation happens. You have sun, you have rain, you have the nutrients in the soil, and the proliferation of this and how the seed gives life to, more fruit. To me, gardening and cooking really helps me to be in awe of the Creator, and it shows me how dependent ultimately I am
you
on
are,
the goodness
yeah.
of God. And then second, Regina, and I hear this in your story too, is it makes us more thankful.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you had to plant a seed and watch that thing go and tend to that and make sure that it was, healthy and that it was thriving. And then you wait all of this time. And then finally there's that day that you get to harvest it and you get to make something.
It, yeah.
What you have to be more thankful for that than if you just ran through the fast food line.
Yes.
And got something handed to you.
And we always did everything from scratch. I mean, it's just every food that we bring inside the kitchen was growing right in the backyard. And the excitement
amazing.
Of seeing a carrot, coming out of the ground, is this little vegetable that is so beautiful.
Yes.
And so orange. And so we couldn't believe that the different colors that it brings to you. But we love it, every minute of it. And I remember even early in age, my father also used to hunt because we had no money. I mean, it was very different times. And even everything that he brought from the hunting season, we used to cook and put in lard because we didn't have a refrigerator enough to keep the birds. So we have to put in layers of lard to keep, good for a long time.
Right.
And we used to pickle everything. And you love to pickle, too.
I do.
Because I tasted a cucumber there from you. There you
yes.
pickle.
And some of this is simple. And that's the thing is, and Regina, we know. I mean, the vast majority of the people that are listening to this podcast
have no
live
idea.
In a totally different environment. However, we can still garden, and we can do little things. So it might even be starting with an herb garden. And we talk about this in the cookbook, just some tips on basil, rosemary, oregano,
this
parsley, lavender. Those are just some of the things that I have out in my backyard right now, sage.
And you can plant in your flower bed.
Yes.
Or in your, you know, right beside your house in a little bed that you have, just plant some of them.
Absolutely. It's so simple. Herbs really do grow well. They grow easy without a lot of fuss. I go out to my herb garden on a regular basis, whether I'm going to snip up herbs and put it with a little olive oil and balsamic and some salt and pepper for dipping oil for bread. I love that.
Good.
And it's not hard.
No.
I love going to get fresh rosemary, rubbing it over chicken, and it just gives such a great taste. Sage. Again, so simple to grow, but I pick a bunch of sage leaves, saute it with a little bit of butter, and then put some butternut squash ravioli and combine that. And so an herb garden would be a great place to start if
and you
want
can even
to.
Put
or,
in
just,
pots.
Or a pot, yes, exactly. And then I would start with a small little vegetable garden. I have 5 raised beds in my backyard. I just went for it several years ago, and I put 5 raised beds, but you could do 1, you could do 2. And start with something as simple like a good, easy-growing cherry tomato. And I take my niece and nephew out there, and they love picking. I mean, sometimes I have to stop them because I need the tomatoes for my salad that I'm making that night, and they're popping them in their mouth. I've grown little sugar snap peas back there. And I love that they now are starting to learn what the plants are. They go back, they know what the pepper plant is, they know what the squash and the zucchini looks like, they know what okra looks like. And even okra, with it's kind of slimy, but when they have the opportunity to pick it, we bring it into the house, I cut it up, and then I saute it, and they eat it.
They want
to
taste.
Yes, when they can be part of the process, their palates are opened up to so much more. And we've even done that with asparagus. I remember my little one, Harper, she just snapped it right in half and just started eating it. Well, she would never do that from a grocery store.
No.
But they'll eat stuff out of the backyard because they're part of that process.
And then tell about the surprise this year in your compost.
Oh, yes. I have 3 surprise pumpkins growing out of my compost pile. So it was such a learning opportunity. I got to take Will and Harper back there. And I said, guys, do you remember last Halloween when afterwards we threw the old pumpkins into my compost pile? I said, well, look at this. Look at what we thought we were throwing away. God has reinvented or refreshed. And now there are 3 pumpkins growing out of this compost pile. So there are so many spiritual lessons that we get in the garden. And that's another thing I just really wanted to touch on is that the Lord really speaks to my heart when I'm out there, when I'm pruning. And we were talking about this before we got recording, that just that concept of pruning. And in John chapter 15, I love this text. And many will be familiar, where Jesus is teaching the disciples and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, or he's the husbandman. He's the one that prunes. And every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. And it's been those times when I've been out in the garden and I've been pruning certain vines off the tomato that may even have fruit on them, but they're not the main vine and they're taking energy and nutrients away from the main part that I want. And that's been a visual for me. Like there are sometimes where the Lord even prunes something in my life that's perfectly good, but he's pruning the good for the better.
For the better.
Yeah. So it's exciting. So Regina, share just some of the things that you feel like, even just from a spiritual perspective, that the Lord shows you.
I think the sense of gratitude is always there because you see that he does everything for our good. And the vegetables, you see, the vegetable garden is just, for me, it's always like a miracle that happened. And you are reminded of his goodness and his grace towards
us. And our dependency upon him.
Our dependency on him. And for the kids, we are also the example. We have to teach the kids how this thing comes.
Right.
How the vegetables grow, because they don't have a clue these days
no.
about anything.
No.
And to see my kids, my grandkids, looking at vegetables in a different way.
Yes.
That's it's not only good for them to be in the garden with us, because I remember my grandfather teaching me everything.
Yes.
Teach your kids. And then there is a good activity to
it's
be outside.
Wonderful activity. Yes.
Under the sun. Working is a good physical activity.
Yes.
And mental for them to talk to you and engage in a conversation to know more about vegetables and to like the different vegetables.
Yes.
And always put in front of them the plate with colorful vegetables so they can know that this is what we picked and we are eating now.
Absolutely.
It's a different experience for them.
It is. And I love that you said an activity. And the thing is that I know that there are people listening going, okay, here's the thing. You grew up gardening, and so that's why you were able to teach your kids. I don't know how to garden. Well, here's the truth of this. I did not have a clue
yeah.
about gardening 7 or 8 years ago. I just decided I wanted to do it. And so I started researching on the internet. I started reading books. I got all these garden books. And I just went out there and I experimented. And I will say this, especially if you have kids, just go ahead and experiment with them.
Mm-hmm.
You both can be novices together. I remember a few years ago, I decided that I really wanted to grow my tomatoes from seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ordered all these really interesting seeds, and I had the little lamp in my house and the little cups with soil. And I had my nephew come over and put the seed in and spray it with the water bottle, and we labeled what each one was. And then after several weeks, we transferred those into the garden. And I didn't know what I was doing, but we got to learn together, and
mm-hmm.
we got to see what worked and what didn't work. And I think that's so important. And Regina, you're so right that we need to find activities that we can do with our kids. And everybody that knows me knows that I don't have children of my own, but I do have little ones. I have a little neighbor who's next to me, and she's 4. She comes over, and we pick flowers out of my garden. And then I've got my nieces and my nephew, and they're over a lot as well. And these are great activities and opportunities that we can have together. But I also want to talk about the fact that gardening teaches us about seasonal fruits
yeah.
and seasonal uh-huh. vegetables. And I love that out of Ecclesiastes. Many of you all will be familiar, but Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, I won't read all of it, but he says that there is an occasion or a time for everything, or an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. And basically everything has time and seasons. And I love it in the spring. You get your cruciferous vegetables, you know,
yes.
your broccoli and your cauliflower and those things that are going to taste extra great in the spring. And then you move into the summer and you've got, you know, your tomatoes and your cucumber, squash and zucchini, eggplant. You get into the fall and you start getting into your butternut squash and pumpkins and, you know, then even the winter hits and you're relying on some of your canned tomatoes
mm-hmm.
and you begin to anticipate spring. And it just teaches us about that cycle of life and anticipation and the seasons that the Lord has ordained.
Mm-hmm. What a great teaching time for kids too.
Yes.
About the seasons of life and
uh-huh.
Seasons of in the vegetable garden. And my grandfather used to tell me, we're going to have the harvest of this now, and then in such month, we're going to have this in the garden. And then it goes from season to season, and you expect that. And the kids don't know too well about that. We have to tell them about seasons of life, and it teach them a big lesson, I think.
Yes, and for them to be excited about certain
yeah.
tastes that they're going to get at certain times of the year.
Certain
I know I had
years.
Will, who's 8, out in my garden the other day, and he goes, I really liked it when you got those peas. How come you don't
yeah.
have those peas out here? Well, because those sugar snap peas don't grow in 95-degree weather. That's something that I would have to start in February that he would get around March or April. And same thing with like the asparagus. They're coming up in March. They're coming up in April. They're not going to come up in July. And that's fun for them to know that we
yeah.
wait for certain things, but then those things like a blackberry cobbler or, you know, a peach cobbler, that we get that in the summertime
yes.
when all of this is fresh and ripe. And it makes cooking and eating more special.
Mm-hmm.
You
Carolina,
know?
My granddaughter, she loves to see the tomato grow and the tomato plant. And then she keeps waiting. Every day she comes from school and she said, Vovó, that is grandma in Portuguese, Vovó, can I see the tomato plant? And then we go outside and she said, I'm like, when are they coming? And then she see the flower, this is coming, then it's going to turn into tomato. And then she comes every day to see if it's ripe. And we take right there from the from the pot and we just clean a little bit in our t-shirts and just eat it right there, the two of us. And it's an experience for this. Oh, it's so good.
Isn't it?
So juicy. So fun. They love it.
It is. Yeah. My other niece, Marin, who lives in Virginia, for her birthday when she was 6 years old, I sent her 3 tomato plants. You can actually order them and have them shipped. Yeah. And she was ecstatic. I mean, I got the blow-by-blow every day how that tomato plant was doing, and it was so fun and exciting. And then, you know, Regina, last but not least, when it comes to gardening and cooking, something that has been so helpful for me is that it is so therapeutic.
Oh,
and,
it is.
You know, we were talking beforehand that there are so few vocations nowadays where we work with our hands. We're such a computer technology, you know, type of society that we don't get to work with our hands a lot. And gardening is something that's just very tactile and therapeutic. And we also don't get a lot of time of solitude.
Yeah.
And that's something, again, that is a very strong spiritual principle. We see Jesus deliberately having time of solitude where it is just him and the Father. And when I am chopping vegetables and I'm cooking, even when I'm shopping for vegetables, whether I'm at the grocery store or the farmer's market and I'm by myself and I'm thinking about what I'm going to get and I'm gathering those things together, or when I'm out in my garden and I'm tending to them, I have time to think and I have time to be restored and I have time just to be in the presence of the Lord. And I think that that has been one of the greatest gifts for me.
It's time for praying for me. I love to pray when I'm gardening.
Do you?
When I'm cooking, I keep thinking about this person and that person. Or, you know, it brings back, I think it is a time with God. It's a quiet time for you. Sometimes people don't understand why I go to the kitchen. My husband say, why are you going to the kitchen again and cook? I said, I just need to do that. I just need to be in the kitchen with my cookbooks and making things for people.
Yes.
See, I make bread all the time, and sometimes it's not even for me, it's for my neighbors.
Right.
Because I give to all the neighborhood. But I love to do that.
Yes.
This is a time that I spend, I think it's a well spent time with God.
Right.
It's not just with the cooking and the planting.
Absolutely. So I would say, you know, just for everybody, again, that's listening, you don't have to go be a farmer. You know, I certainly do not exist off of my backyard. But I will say that if you can do a little tiny plot.
Start little, yeah.
Start manageable with an herb garden, maybe some tomato plants. Cucumbers are extremely prolific and easy to grow. And I love those because I can, like you said, I can throw them in some vinegar and a little salt and maybe some garlic. And I've got pickles in my refrigerator. I can make little sandwiches with them. But those are simple. Okra is simple. But do something like that. Involve the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whether it's your own children or it's nieces and nephews or it's neighbors, but involve kids. They love it. And it teaches them about their creator in a new way.
Yeah.
Yes. And then whether you're gardening or not, rely on seasonal vegetables. This has probably been the most revolutionary piece for me of gardening and cooking is just the seasonal vegetables. And there are certain dishes, tomato dishes, that I simply will not make unless it is the summer.
Summer,
you know? And then I love canning tomatoes. So when it is winter, I can crack open the most amazing jar of tomatoes. But again, involving kids with that. And then linking it to scripture. When we read scripture, and we especially something like a John 15, and where it talks about the pruning and Jesus as the one true vine, we can begin to picture that a little bit more when we're out in the garden. And there's so much here. I think it's also, like I said, if you need some time for therapy and solitude, cooking, gardening, thinking about a menu plan, and then also praying while you're doing all of this will be such a gift to your soul and to your loved ones.
That's for sure.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing you back here next time.